Rastax, good morning. Hello.
Hi, good morning.
Yes, ma'am.
I'd like to go on the air.
You are on the air.
Hi, I'd like to raise 2 points.
Mm-hmm.
First, about the meeting that they had with the DLP on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
As a lady, I was very embarrassed about what had gone on, and I was very hurt. It's not my party, to be honest, but, you know, you still like to listen in and hear what was going on. But, I mean, when they started, I had to actually stop listening, right? My next point is I heard Mia say that she's going to raise the poor people, well, the
non-contributory pensions.
Pension, good. Right now, I am on disability, right?
Mm-hmm.
And my two daughters lost their father, right, at an early age, right?
Mm-hmm.
And one daughter receives $300 a month, and the next receives $124 a month, right?
Mm-hmm.
My problem is, how does the INS, right, expect to give a child
the IMF or the NIS?
The NIS, sorry.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
To give a child $124 a month. I cannot get that on. No, first thing, I can't go on work. They say you can't raise a chicken, you can't do nothing.
Not when you're on disability, no. You're not supposed
exactly
to have other sources of income.
Exactly. My money is very small. When they tell you small, it is small, right? Then my children lost their father. Still in primary school, have to send them. And then their father paid INS, right? But see the difference. So I am wondering if this new government or any whoever getting, if they could at least put all children on the same scale, not all, but I would not say like police and then because that they pay more taxes than us. But you cannot, to me, it don't seem fair that you are giving a child $124 in a day like this.
Ma'am, you know, I can break my rules and respond. One of the challenges I have tried to advocate sitting in this chair is the plight of people with disabilities, people who depend on public assistance, and young children in need. I do not believe that children should suffer. That is rule number one. The people who have been discharged for being medically unfit or people on fixed incomes, people with disabilities, have a very tough road to hoe. A very tough road to hoe. And there are people I know who are employed who have children with learning disabilities who say to me that we boast of free education, but if you have a child with a learning disability who needs assistance, you have to pay for it. It's not free, and it's a burden on them, in addition to the emotional and other care they have to give them. I share your concerns about people with disabilities because I have one. Fortunately for me, while my disability causes me to not be able to do other things, it still allows me to talk, which makes me earn a living. But I know there are people who are able, who can do things with their hands. They may not be able to get up everywhere every day and go to a business and earn a living, but they can do things at home to earn a living. But because they're on disabilities, they can't do that. A disability allowance or pension, they can't get income from other sources. And I understand your concern. My hope is that when you when people come to you to talk about what they will do for you, they can listen to what you say and try to formulate a policy that gives assistance to people like yourself. Because we talk all the time about helping the most vulnerable in our society. The problem I see is that we either don't identify them properly, or that they don't feel that they are being catered to even when you try to. The message I would like to help you in getting across is this. People with disabilities and people who need assistance don't need charity. They don't need, ah, Kadir, I given you this, be thankful now, you could be getting nothing. You need to understand that sometimes when people are in the position that you are articulating, the only thing you have left is your pride and your desire to be better than you are right now. It is unfortunate, that persons in your particular situation are overlooked as often as they are. And I hope that your plea today and my trying to amplify it for you the best way I can, because the only talent I have is my language and my way I can use it, is to get people to understand that these are the things that need to be corrected as we go forward. When we talk about the challenges Barbados will face and has faced and can face, the most vulnerable in our society, people who have no one else to support them but, children who are depending on a mother who is disabled, a father who is sporadically employed, someone who cares for them, but all they can offer is that they too need to be given the type of support and assistance that comes with this desire to care for the vulnerable in our society. We've set up agencies, we've given people offices and titles, and we need to make sure that they deliver at the end. Ma'am, I hope they hear you. I've tried my best to support your cause. And thank you for making the call. This is Down to Brass. Good to hear man talking about back. I haven't heard that in a while. Brass Dax, good morning. Hello.
Morning.
Yes, ma'am.
I would say, no, Mr. Johnson, could you help me, please? Who or what is a leader? Hello?
Ma'am, I have a very simple definition of a leader. To know the way, to go the way, to show the way. Full stop.
Oh, well, I would say that a leader is a person who guides or conducts or have priority or one who should be pleasant in their approach at all times. You agree with me?
That's your definition? Ma'am, that's your definition.
That's my definition, yeah. Mm-hmm. And I said that to say this, that the leader of the DS...
Let's stay away from the personal insults and let's try to keep it as civil as possible, because it may be your opinion of the individual, but the way you express it and what it does to other people may find us sliding down a slippery slope. Thank you for your contribution. 4341790, Brass Dax, good morning. Hello.
Mr. Johnson.
Yes, sir.
How are you, sir?
I am abiding like the shepherds in the field, and how are you?
I missed you for a month. I said Mr. Johnson has got to be in your revere again. You've gone over there again.
You missed me. Boy, I am missed. Look at this. Okay.
I just want to you on one of those long vacations that I can't afford.
Sir, I want you to know, right, that my vacations are very affordable. I withdraw to a room in a corner and I sit quietly and I read. I can't afford to go anywhere, not even outside.
Anyway, you're safe and sound.
I am. Thank you.
Mr. Johnson, 2 points you want to make with you. You know, of course, this is, of course, I don't call it the silly season. I call it the season when people should sit up, look at the advantages and disadvantages, and think in terms of what is best for their country. And not even what's best for their party, what is best for the country. Now, Mr. Johnson, when I was about 14 or 15, my mother, and I like to talk about my mother because I never really appreciated my mother the way I should have until she was gone. And I'm not ashamed to say that. My mother used to give me $20 on a Friday and told me to go to the shop. You know, they didn't have this to a market at the time. She would say, make a list. This is $20, make a list. You know what we have to get, and let me see it before you leave here. And I would say, Mom, I know what we have to buy. I don't have to make a list. She said, make a list, or don't leave here. The point I'm trying to make is, this thing, you cut here, cut there, cut everywhere, and then give them this, give them that, and you don't need mathematics. is bound to run you in trouble. And I'm saying right now that unless we very carefully count the cost of what we are doing, what we have done, what we are doing, and what we plan to do. It's like a talk. You know, I can't promise you anything. You can promise your daughter a Maserati next year.
She might buy me one.
Exactly. But this is still promises and promising is not. You have to do the math. I don't care who is your prime minister, who is your minister of finance. This country will only run on what's in the treasury. And if your treasury is high, you spend big. If your treasury is low, then you're restricting your spending. I want to share a word of caution to the people of Barbados relative to going to IMF. A lot of people go to IMF. If you don't go, go to IMF. The IMF, as I said, is not a charitable institution. It's a bank. And it gives loans to people, and it recovers money in the fastest and safest possible thing. I saw an article in the Jamaica Gleaner some years ago, and I cut it out. I cut it out. And I'm not going to go into any further details of it, but I want Barbados to understand what an IMF menu looks like and just what it looks like. First of all, if you borrow money from the IMF, they ain't going to be no salary increases, not the pension increases, because the IMF, number one thing, is the free salaries. Number two, they're free pensions, and signing the cut pensions. And then they go up with the social services. The QEH, things that QEH, the BCC, secondary school, primary schools, will feel the pinch of the IMF because they don't look around to see who's going to get hurt and who's going to lose jobs. And the third thing they do is they go after the services. They're liable to raise the rates on water rates, electricity, telephone, and the elect bus fares. Like bus fare. Right now in Jamaica, the bus fare is 16 Jamaica dollars. And last but not least, they always go after welfare and disability pensions and so on. And last of all, the coup de grace, devaluation. And when they devalue your currency, if you follow Jamaica, they don't move it from, say, from 2 to 10 and let it remain there. Every quarter, they review that and they move it up all the time. So that Jamaica, when they first went in that program, they were 10 or 12 to 1. Today, Jamaica's exchange rate is about 130 to 1. Now, I want business to understand this very clearly. You have a choice to make. Make the choice in the best interest of your country and that of your children and your children's children.
Okay, sir. I can't argue with your rundown of the conditionalities usually set by the IMF. I will, however, tell you that the conditionalities are usually a matter of negotiation, and one is supposed to negotiate from a position of strength as opposed to a position of weakness. The weaker you are when you get into the negotiations, the more draconian the conditionalities, as they call them, would be. The other thing I think that we sometimes miss in our discourse when we talk about going to various funds, or whether it's the IMF, the IADB, the one we joined in with the Latin American group, is this. One has to remember, as with everything else, including going to a commercial bank or a credit union for a loan, your ability to pay it back. And what happens is when a country has very little resources that can generate the foreign exchange needed to repay a loan that's in a foreign currency, while trying to curb the appetite of the population for foreign produced items by substituting it with locally produced items, you find yourself in a bit of a dead end if there is very little you can offer to make those foreign funds available. Barbados over the years has depended on direct foreign investment to augment the flow of foreign currency into Barbados. It has depended on the sale of certain assets to generate tranches of foreign exchange that can be deposited to our foreign reserves and boost them up. When that has happened, what we've had is a glut of spending that then counteracts what has been raised. It's a cycle we've gotten into. That's why when I hear people talking about our first quarter, we make the most, and then for the rest of the year, we coast along, and then at the end of the year, in the last quarter, we make some more. Well, aren't we going to break that cycle? And wasn't the whole creation of crop over supposed to fill the middle? So if we continue to say, well, this is how it was done, because this is how we've done it, and this is what we're comfortable doing it, so we'll find ourselves doing this over and over and over and over again. The problem that we face in Barbados is twofold. One, we have a standard of living that we don't want to lose. That's number one. Put that firmly on the table. Nobody in their right mind is going to say to a Barbadian, I want you to give up A, B, C, D because the country needs it. They're not going to do it, sir. I don't care whether they support B, D, E, F, or G, or even you. Right? Because this is what they were accustomed to. And as I said to the lady earlier, who, by the way, ma'am, if you're still listening to us, please call the front desk and leave your contact information. Someone wants to get in touch with you to offer assistance. I love when radio works this way. Here's what's going to happen, sir. The last thing we have is our pride. So I am not going to put down my car, and you're not going to put down your car, and we're not going to go and stand by the bus stop and hope to get on the ZR, because people are going to say, ha ha, but look at he used to be Big Shot. Look, he catching bus. Because that's our impression of the bus. Okay? The other thing that we have is that we need to earn foreign exchange. Earn. Not in peace here and peace there. A constant flow of foreign exchange into our reserves. And until we build something outside of tourism that gives us periodic inputs as opposed to continuous flow, we're going to find ourselves in the same problem, including how we pay our loans. Look at what has been said. We got to pay for this, we got to pay for that, we got to pay for that, and it takes foreign exchange, and it comes out every year. Sir, you've managed, you tell me you've worked in several places, and you just talk about your mother sending you to the shop. Right? My own used to give me it verbally. The thing is, you have to understand what takes priority. So your mother will say to you, well, we're going to have to patch the hole in your pants because this is all we could do this month. Do you think you could tell Bajans that today and they will follow you?
Mr. Johnson, you have spoken wisely again.
No, but I could only try my best.
Yeah, but Mr. Johnson, you are somebody who draws lessons from practical living. You're
I have
people who know that,
sir. And I, sir, let me say this again. I know people tell me I like to talk about myself, but the only person I know is me. Let me say this to you, sir. I worked at a commercial bank. I was married. I had a child. I had a certain standard of living. When I was left to maintain my child on my own, I had to give up my apartment that only cost $500 a month and share a room in somebody's house because I went from two incomes to one. I had to catch the bus. I had to walk. I walked from Broad Street, Royal Bank, at the top of Broad Street there, to Maxwell Terrace. I ain't care who look at me and laugh. I did that because I had to do it.
You had to cut your coat according to class, sir.
And my nose and everything else.
And you didn't have to.
And the people who wet me with their car and laugh, I look back at it and I say, I remember you well, my friend. I hope you're never in the position that I am in. So I could only talk about what I know.
Exactly. Mr. Johnson, in closing, let me just say this to confirm what you're saying. If you see the index of income disposable in Barbados, one of the banks did it some time ago. You'll see that Bajans spend a large amount of money, most of money, and mortgages at the highest. Then you get car loans. Then you get higher purchase contracts.
Mm-hmm.
Then you get credit cards.
Mm-hmm. And they don't know how to control those, sir.
That's right. Then you get your cell phones and the cell phone services. A lot. listen, at number 7, food, Mr. Johnson. You hear what he said?
Food. I know. Yes, sir.
Food comes at number 7 on that index. I was not amazed. I thought that it should have taken a break. But this is what happened, Mr. Johnson. I heard a lady come up to the supermarket the other day, one of the big supermarkets, and she said, where the van is? You know the van that usually takes people to their homes and so on?
The shuttle.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I said, where the van? The woman said, but the van left with 10 minutes to go. And again, I'm going to see him. You're going to catch a taxi. Look at a taxi there. She said, oh, man, taking a taxi. I got every convenience I want home. And I just cook one day a week for a Sunday. It lasts me till Tuesday. She said, after that, yep. I was crunching on sweet biscuits and more beef. And she answered said that, but I ain't got no money for the taxi. And Mr. everybody really just roll up. And this woman, she was as serious as a judge. And when said that the priorities in people's lives are different.
Yes, sir. And I've also said on more than one occasion, our tastes have changed. Exactly. So when people talk about growing ground food and ground provision, people would say, but I don't eat yams. I don't like how edibles taste. Exactly. Because they've not grown accustomed to it. That's not what they've grown up on.
I
see people every day buying something they call chips in a box. Mm. So when I try to eat one, I can't eat one. It don't taste like potato. It tastes like box. I like to buy a potato, cut it, and if I feel like frying it, I fry it. If I feel like boiling it, I boil it. Because I know what potato tastes like. So we have to change our tastes as well. Let me thank you, sir, for making your contribution. Let me just make an appeal again. The lady who called asking about her pensions and the children being supported on survivor's pensions, please give the front desk a call, 430-7300. If you try to call us back on our line, 434-1790, you may run into problems because of the callers on the line, and Graham won't be able to take the information, so try calling the front desk. Two things. Someone sent me a WhatsApp that says, why can't you say anything about banking? You pontificate on everything else. I have spoken about the banking in Barbados since 1994 when I sat here. I made the comment because I found it strange that because a lawyer made the call that we should rally behind him. When ordinary citizens say, let us, ignore them. That's my beef. Two, I moved all my accounts. All. When I was told that they were, when I saw that they were taking $10 off my children's junior savers that I was teaching them how to save because I wasn't using it. All. They went to the Barbados Public Workers Cooperative Credit Union and they've remained there, where I'm a member. And they treat me nicely. Not because I'm Dennis Johnson, but because I'm a member. The only thing the credit union does not offer is a checkbook service. And checks are becoming almost obsolete these days because people are using bank cards. And the credit union issues you with a card that you can use at ATMs and you can use to pay your bills. And as a credit union member, you have a voice on what happens at the credit union if you want to use it. We like to gather behind people because of their status in life. I have no status. So the people who call me and cussing me and tell me I want to drag Barbados down because I'm a trini, need to see what my passport and what my birth certificate says, because I'm not the way my voice sounds. One. The people who want to call me CARICOM people in here who cutting off people, check my passport, check my birth certificate. You can check it if you want. I am not ashamed of who or what I am. I am Dennis Johnson. Full stop. Nothing else. I only want to be called Dad, with affection. Brass Dax, good morning.
Hey, how are you doing?
I am doing fine, sir, and you? Good to hear you.
Nice to hear you as well.
Mm-hmm.
Thankfully, well, first of all, before I get into it, I listened to Arthur just now. He drew a long list of what the conditionalities that the IMF put on you. But I would like to ask him if Barbados is an IMF program, because several of those things seemingly is in Barbados as well. So I would just leave it at that. Thankfully, we are down to 14 days before D-Day, the Deliverance Day.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems as though some of the ministers, I don't know if it's desperation or what, but their comments, some of their comments are a little bit off. Like when, I'd like to touch on two of the ministers. When Mr. Christinka spoke on Sunday night, in reference to when Miss Morley gave her intention of purchasing trucks, FSA trucks,
right,
if they, you know, get the opportunity to be in
government.
India. Yeah, right? He, I remember Mr. Crinkler said, Mr. Crinkler quoted the truck costing
$700,000.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I remember clearly on the 30th of October 2016, Minister Low revealed that a $20 million loan was approved by an international institution to purchase 17 trucks. Moreover, Minister Low noted that a truck cost $200,000. $200,000! Mr. Crinkler, probably he wanted to make the situation look that bad, mentioned $700,000. Right? Now, you have now Mr. Ennis. Some nights back, he spoke at a meeting, and he said, the government has performed well. They never defaulted on the debt. Mr. Ennis needs to go to the Auditor General's 2016 report, which highlighted six businesses, right? At number three, they spoke about Four Seasons Project. He said, government guaranteed a loan of $120 million for Four Seasons.
Mm-hmm.
During the financial year 2011-2012,
mm-hmm,
and the debt was called by the bankers during the financial year 2013-14. The loan and the interest totaling $124.3 million were paid by government through its holding company, Clearwater Bay. Now, I would like to anybody that have a knowledge of what's happening, know when a bank called the loan, that is a default. When the bank calls the loan, that is a default. They might have not defaulted internationally, certainly regionally. That is a default, right? also, he got to understand that on the when the governor gave his 2016 fourth quarter report, the former governor of the central bank, he said government indebtedness to individuals and companies stood at a staggering $4.6 billion, right? Minister Ennis should also, he spoke about the high cost of fluid because President Trump had the issue there with Iran.
And it's going to go up.
But I will remind Mr. Ennis, in 2011, Barbados energy cost stood at $804 million. By 2016, it plummeted, and the cost stood at $366 million, a decline of $438 million. I remember Mr. Ennis on the same brass tacks. And I called him when I was on the line, and I reminded Mr. Ennis that at the time the world price on fluid had plummeted to by 60%, and the government of Barbados only passed on less than 10%. I think it was 8% or something like this to the consumers. So, you know, when these ministers are in a road talk speaking, they must not try to mislead. Because I believe that the election will be won and lost on the government's performance over the last 10 years. Not misinformation. I would just like to say that.
All right, sir. Thank you very much indeed. One of the things I would like, someone sent a message here and I agree. The question is, were the garbage trucks quoted in U.S. Barbados dollars and they added on about NSRL. I don't think vehicles for the Sanitation Service Authority, Transport Board, etc. would attract those types of taxes since government's bringing it in. The challenge I have from time to time listening to people quoting figures is in what currency. And I remember, well, there was a lot of to-do about the cost of the prison because of this U.S. and not Barbados dollars. And I always try to follow, whenever figures are quoted, what currency it's being quoted in. There are a couple of things I think we need to have a serious look at going forward, whichever party forms the government of Barbados. There are several buildings in Barbados owned by the government or under the control of the government that needs some type of remedial work or have been condemned or shut down as being sick buildings. We have to have a plan about what we plan to, about what to do with them, because they can't just sit there. There's a treasury, the old treasury building on the end of Fairchild Street sitting there. We have buildings all over Barbados sitting there. We have new buildings, the courthouse that got issues. Government is supposed to take control of the British American building up on Colomer Rock. What are we going to do with it? Are we going to put the other end of the welfare, the unemployment there so they don't go from Warren's to Colomer Rock, or they could just walk across the road? We have to have a plan about what we're going to do with buildings, one. Two, we're going to have to rationalize how many ministries do we need, how many ministries do we want, what's the maximum we could afford. It's not sexy campaign platform speaks, but somebody has to address it in some form or fashion so we know where we're going forward, so we could make, as someone said, an educated decision about where we put our X. Three, this question of all these bus shells that are sitting down by Weymouth. Are we going to get them sold as scrap so we could get at least, you know, if you sell a car for $300 as scrap, at least you have $300 to put in the new one? Because we can't just pile up old vehicles all over Barbados. We don't have the land space. We do not. Okay? And the one that, to me, is going to be the most contentious, because nobody's going to address it, is this one. We inherited from our colonial overseers a government house, and now we have added a Lalara Court where our Prime Minister and our Governor General reside. Can we afford a government house the size that it is and a Lalara Court that perhaps may or may not be used? When we have to have an executive chef, housekeeper, linen, and be maintained with gardeners. Anybody ever look at the estimates and see how much we spend on government house and the Lalara Court on an annual basis? These are the non-sexy items that we have to address so we could address the lady with the children and the problem. And by the way, she has called, so radio does work. And thank you for being so kind to her, the people who have asked for her information. This is Dr. Brass Tacks.